This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athlete-ish, Sierra's got it.
The new Chicken Bacon Ranch Street Chalupa is a Taco Bell. You can't get just one. Okay, so that's not like some marketing hyperbole. You literally can't get just one. They come in twos. So like, if you want just one, you're going to need to find a friend who loves slow-roasted chicken, bacon, and avocado ranch sauce. Or a friend of a friend, or have an awkward conversation with a complete stranger to see if they're obsessed with chicken, bacon, and avocado ranch. Or you could just like eat them both because you're obsessed with slow-roasted chicken, bacon. Okay, you get the idea. The new Chicken Bacon Ranch Street Chalupa is a Taco Bell. At participating Taco Bell U.S. locations for limited time while supplies last.
Welcome to the Migration Podcast, your guide for waterfowl hunting tactics, gear, and conservation. And now, your host, Ryan Hallbly.
What is up, everyone? As John A.M. said, I'm your host, Brian Hallbly. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to tune in to the Migration Waterfowl Podcast, presented by Bluebird Waterfowl. I love the sounds of that. That's right. Our partner Bluebird Waterfowl is now our title sponsor. I'm so appreciative of the fact that George, the owner of Bluebird Waterfowl, believed in what I'm doing here early on and supported me from the beginning. I got to spend some time with George at the Great American Outdoor Show in my home state last month, and it was a true pleasure getting to know him better in person and breaking bread with him at a local brewery. He's a great guy and incredible businessman. I got to hear a lot about how his product came to life and also his goals for the future. He's a pretty smart guy and very business savvy. I love networking with guys like George. I've always loved that saying, if you think you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room. I think it's invaluable to keep those networking lines of communication open along with your ears. I know two businessmen now who have really jumped into using artificial intelligence to help their businesses, and their results have been great. I do use it on a smaller scale for things like giving me a synopsis of the show in note and bullet point form, and I'm starting to use it more for other aspects of running and growing the podcast. It's cool for administrative stuff, but if I'm honest, it scares the crap out of me. And that's a perfect segue into today's show. I had another great conversation with one of my favorite repeat guests who you know and love. This season recap quickly goes down some rabbit holes about the Super Bowl, artificial intelligence, hunter ethics, social media behavior, and much, much more. I think you'll enjoy this one. This episode is also brought to you by these other fine partners, Rig 'Em Right, The Duck Hole and Company, and CK Custom Calls. I'll tell you more about all of these partners later in the show. Getting pretty fired up, getting closer to my Florida vacation to get out of here, get out of the cold weather, get out of the dreary brown world with no leaves on any of the trees in Pennsylvania. The snow's pretty much melted for now. It actually got pretty warm today. I've been up in the 50s and I think it got above 60 today. So that gave me an opportunity to get the kayak all cleaned up and hung up underneath the deck. I got a few projects done outside. Got a couple of things straightened up in the garage. It's just nice to have that sunshine, and even if it doesn't get super warm. So one thing I'm definitely looking forward to for 6 days in Florida. I'm going to be taking my father-in-law fishing. I booked a peacock bass fishing trip for us. It's one of the few fish I have not went after in Florida after all these years of going down there to visit my in-laws. So looking forward to that. Should be a pretty cool trip. If I feel up to it, I'm going to try to take the GoPros and maybe get a little bit of footage to put on the YouTube channel. And that's about all that I've got going on, really. I mean, it's just trying to stay consistent, keep these shows coming to you every week, working hard on growing the podcast and getting some new partners. I think I'm getting close to announcing another new partner coming up here soon for the 2025 season. Pretty excited to do that. It's a local Pennsylvania company, which I think that's pretty cool to be working with another waterfowl business out of Pennsylvania. You know, always talk about this not being a big waterfowl mecca by any standards, but pretty cool to get the word out locally, represent our state and our flyway, and hopefully be growing with another great business, growing together, and making some more friends and relationships, and excited to see where that's going to go. Speaking of partnerships and networking, I'm going to be attending the Toronto Sportsman Show March 14th through the 16th. I'll be hanging out at the Punisher Waterfowl booth with my friend Damian Pittman, host of Punisher Waterfowl. His co-host Craig Lalonde is going to be there, and I'm sure the rest of the Punisher crew will be there as well. So be sure to stop by and see us. Punisher Waterfowl will be hosting The Refuge. It's a dedicated waterfowl area at the show full of duck and goose hunting product manufacturers, guides, and outfitters. This is your chance to get your eyes, hands on the latest waterfowl gear and products. We'll be recording some podcasts there and doing live updates throughout the weekend. As I've mentioned before, if you know anybody that owns a waterfowl-related brand, product, or service, I'd love to partner with them in 2025 and beyond. We're moving quickly towards our 50th episode, and the podcast is growing every single day. So feel free to reach out by email or social media message for more information. Love to talk to you or whoever you know that has a waterfowl-related business and grow together. On this episode, I'll be talking with Elliot Snyder, host of the Freelance Duck Hunting YouTube channel and the North American Waterfowler podcast. We discuss a wide range of topics from the recent Super Bowl outcome and its impact on fans to a comprehensive wrap-up of the waterfowl hunting season. We reflect on our experiences from this season, satisfaction levels, and our observations of the migration. We also get into the influence of artificial intelligence and the misinformation in today's society. We also look ahead to the upcoming hunting season and talk about our plans for future adventures. We discuss various aspects of this past waterfowl hunting season, including the impulsive decisions made regarding days off work for hunting, our preferences between duck and goose hunting, and the anticipation of the snow goose season. We also discuss the complexities of non-resident hunting regulations in Kansas and the impact of non-residents on local hunting experiences. We talk about the ethics of waterfowl hunting in the age of social media, the importance of mentorship for young hunters, and future enhancements to the North American Waterfowler app. We wrap up with an emphasis on the mental health benefits of having projects and hobbies related to waterfowl hunting. Thanks to God for blessing us with another opportunity to get together for another episode. So let's get into episode number 45. Welcome back to another episode of the Migration Waterfowl Podcast presented by Bluebird Waterfowl. I appreciate you all taking time out of your day to join me again. I've got my good buddy, Mr. Elliot Snyder from Kansas. How's everything going, Elliot?
Everything's going good. We actually have, I think, the last little spitting winter storm coming in tonight at 9. So winter is still with us. Yeah, everything's going great.
Yeah, and it was 60-some degrees here and sunny today. It's crazy how these patterns are moving through like that.
Yeah, this time of year, you never know.
Yeah, for sure. So I got to get the sore subject out of the way. How are you recovering from the Super Bowl outcome?
Man, that was, you know, big picture, this is the best sports time of my entire life. I went through a period where I didn't think the Chiefs would ever even see the Super Bowl, and now we've won 3 and been to 5. And so it's fine. I mean, obviously that day was just ruined. I mean, you lose like that. Both of our Super Bowl losses have just been crushing defeats. And so that was not fun. There was nothing fun about it. But I'd be a pretty spoiled brat to cry too much. I mean, you know, 3 Super Bowls, been there 5 times, 7 conference championship games in a row. So, you know, it certainly tarnished tarnished Mahomes' legacy a little bit. But if he comes back and wins, you know, one in the next few years or whatever, if we continue the streak, which I don't know if we will or not, everything will be fine.
So were you kind of a realist as a fan? Because kind of looking from the outside, there was a lot of talk about some of the weaknesses that the Chiefs were kind of overcoming last minute all season. Were you kind of in tune with that, or did you have the home team rose-colored glasses on all year?
Well, here's the thing, is that they the year before, the first of the two-peat Super Bowls they won, they didn't play very well all year, and then in the playoffs, they just flipped it into another gear. And then they did that again, or maybe that was – it all kind of floods together. Maybe that was last year. So – I wasn't overly worried about the team itself because it was a defensive team. It was a defensive team with poor tackles, and we had the vast majority of our high-powered offensive players were hurt all season. So, right. I felt like I had a really realistic approach. And then I didn't think that they could solve these problems. But then when they moved one of their guards, Joe Tooney, out to left tackle, it seemed to work, and they handled. They handled really good pass rushing teams really, really well. And so I thought we would probably win that game. No one has talked about this, but and I don't understand why. Because anyone who's played sports understands momentum and how momentum works. I think if those same two teams played that game 10 times, it would be something like 6-4, maybe the Eagles. It wouldn't play out like that. That team... You know, we had a couple drop passes on the first couple of drives that made a big difference. And then when they got that pick six interception, that momentum thing kicked in. And from that point on, our offensive line, because the Eagles pass rush was not that spectacular all year long. So it was talent plus momentum of the game is what it was. Yeah. And once that, whether you're shooting three-pointers or you got to run in basketball, once that momentum gets kicked in, that the people become superhuman. They become so much better than they were. If you'd played that game the very next week, I still would have said the Chiefs had a great chance to win because there's absolutely no reason that Eagles front four should have been able to get that type of pass rush on the Chiefs compared to what had been happening. I mean, the Texans have a better pass rush than the Eagles did all year long. And the Chiefs' offensive line. So it was, I think, in the massive majority of it was a momentum situation. And the Eagles, everyone's pissed off at the Chiefs. The Eagles are pissed off at the Chiefs. And, you know, it was a mental momentum thing more than anything else, more than it was just a bare talent thing.
Yeah. Well, all that aside, I mean, it was a good run. I'm glad you got to experience that. I've had some ups and downs in Pittsburgh like that with some of our sports teams. And, that's pretty special as a fan to get to go through a period where you get to see that much winning and get to get
for
caught
sure.
up in it and enjoy it. So who knows where it's going to go from here. I think the Steelers are going to be struggling for a little bit. Hopefully the Chiefs will be able to make some offseason moves and keep their streak going there.
What do you think the Steelers are going to do for quarterback next year?
I don't know.
Would you be in favor of Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know. I mean, you can't really go and get any worse than where we're at. I think it would be worth a try.
I do too.
But then, you know, you kind of get all the stuff that comes along with that. But I think he'd be a pretty good fit here.
I do too, because you know, Tomlin can handle something like that, don't you? I think Tomlin could handle
it. Yeah, and it's a little more blue-collar, conservative fan base, and he's kind of that way. So who knows? We'll see where it ends up. But anyway, enough football talk. I just wanted to catch up with that on you because, man, I hate Philadelphia, and I was hoping that the Chiefs would win, and we didn't get to talk too much about it after the game, so appreciate it.
You're one of the few non-Kansas City fans that were rooting. I saw one graphic that was like people around Philadelphia wanted the Eagles to win. People around Kansas City wanted the Chiefs to win. Everyone else wanted a meteor to hit.
That's funny. Well, let's jump back into the waterfowl stuff here. I want to kind of get a little season wrap up from you, hear about, you know, kind of how it all compared to years past and what kind of what your satisfaction was.
Well, my satisfaction level was really, really high. I'm hoping to get that added to the app for next year where you rate each hunt satisfaction-wise. But I'm guessing that satisfaction level probably was the highest it's been in 10 years. It was just such a fun season. We camped a lot. We went on lots of different adventures. It was just so much fun. My bird per hunt average was, anytime I'm above 3, I'm happy, but it was kind of low 3s, I think 3.1-ish, which is fine, which is on, you know, if I slip down to the 2s, for me, I'm feeling like I'm not having as good a season as I would like, not that I'd be totally dissatisfied with it. And a lot of it, it's not all bird per hunt average, because a lot of times you can have a lower per average hunt, but your hunts are still really, really fun. So it's not everything, but just generally speaking. But I had a good year, a good solid year, one of my top fives probably as far as harvested, and definitely probably my number one as far as just pure fun and satisfaction.
Did you get to hunt as much as an average season, or did you get a little more, a little less?
I hit 40. It was the first time I'd ever hit 40 during duck season. So I normally am somewhere between 28 and 35 hunts per year. But actually, the reason I hit 40 is because my stepson Elijah started hunting, and he was pushing me to hunt more and more. There's days that I wanted to take off, and he was pushing me to go. So I actually went more than I'd ever gone before. It was a new record.
Yeah, that's great. You and I talked about that before. It's been fun to see him coming into his own as a waterfowl hunter and really being a great partner for you.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. I didn't see it coming. Kind of started with that camping trip with you. He absolutely loved, not the hunt necessarily, but he loved the experience of the camping, and we had the meal and the fire. And then we had, you know, it was a pretty fun hunt. But that really got to him, that hunt. And then the next hunt he went on was just a phenomenal teal hunt. So those two in a row, after those two, I think something just clicked.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Bluebird Waterfowl, creator of The Animator. The Animator is revolutionizing the waterfowl community with the world's first spinning wing decoy conversion kit. Turn your existing spinner into a water motion decoy in seconds and learn how to finish more birds with the sound of water. Guaranteed to boost your hunt or your money back. Flaring birds with your spinner is a thing of the past. Try one risk-free at bluebirdwaterfowl.com or at your favorite local outdoor supplier. Yeah, it's pretty refreshing to hear you highlight all of the experiences that you had over the year, over the season. And man, that's so important to me and you and a lot of guys that are like-minded like us. Mm-hmm. I think back to that camping trip we had on the teal hunt. And it, like you said, it was a pretty decent hunt. We shot a lot of birds. But I think about the sunsets and the mm-hmm. sights and just the camaraderie around the campfire and things like that. That's the kind of stuff that I'm seeking every year and that I'm looking forward to every season. And it's just, you know, you hope that everybody feels that way. I know a lot of guys are super kill dependent, more so than us. Now, we're kill dependent hunters as well, mm-hmm. as we've talked about before, but that's not all we need to have a great season.
Yeah, I'm not limit dependent, but I'm certainly kill dependent. I'm not having fun and happy on a skunk hunt. I'm not. It's not fun. But not that I can't enjoy some aspects of it, but ultimately it's just I want to be harvesting something. But that doesn't mean I have to shoot a limit at all. But, you know, it's that full immersion atmosphere that I just absolutely love. And that hunt we went on together, we got there, we were able to scout. We were camping, 60 yards from the water's edge. So we saw some teal in there that night, got to see the sun go down, had the dinner, recorded a podcast, had a couple drinks. I mean, that was a blast. That's what I will remember from that whole experience is just being immersed in that environment
and just being there with people that are enjoyable to be around and spending the time.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we're getting into that time of year now where a lot of people around the country are starting to get frustrated with their local state agencies and how the birds are being managed. They're getting frustrated with private property owners keeping all their birds and the birds not moving as far. What was your overall experience with the migration compared to what you've seen in other years?
I thought it was fantastic. We had ice before. I always want ice before or on Thanksgiving, and then some ice cycles after that. I mean, we hit a little bit of a mild stretch early December, but ultimately I thought it was a really good migration. We had the cold in November. The migration this year, the whole central part of the state was pretty much dry. So the mallards really rode the line between Missouri and Kansas, and that's where I'm at. So we had tons of mallards coming right down through the area where I live. And then we had really cold in January. So I was thrilled with the migration. I couldn't have been. The only thing it could have been better is if we didn't get the thaw the last 2 weeks. Had we gotten the thaw in the last 2 weeks, which we still had some decent hunts, but if we had gotten that thaw in the last 2 weeks, it would have sealed it. But weather-wise, it was the best winter we've had for a while, I think.
Yeah. It seems like the friends of mine that work pretty hard in the South always seem to find a way to get it done. And they're not as vocal about some of the issues that other people are talking about. Why do you think the majority of these people that are pushing this agenda that's, you know, northern private properties are short-stopping birds and or things are being mismanaged. Why do you think that they're having that outlook?
Well, I'm purely speculating, but I've talked to enough people in the South to believe that there's certainly been in the last 10 to 20 years a big shift in how quickly birds go south, how far they go south. Now, I will say that the last 10 years, we've had a ton of mild winters. And I think it's just something that's going to rotate and pass around. I mean, this has been a super cold winter. But unfortunately, most of that cold has been after the hunting season. But I think things will shift back a little bit with the weather. But the fact is that they're not seeing the same level of mallard migration. Now, if you go and look at harvest data, Louisiana and Arkansas still harvest more ducks than anywhere else. Now, they've got more duck hunters than anywhere else, but they're not getting the mallards. And that is something, those areas, waterfowl hunting is a cultural phenomenon for those areas. So things are changing for them. And when things are changing, then people are going to get upset and people are going to blame things. And sometimes what they're going to blame is going to be misguided. Not everyone is really good at sorting through information and being non-emotional and coming up with realistic reasons to why things are happening. You're just going to get a certain set of people that are going to be emotional and irrational as to the reasons. And in this, but they do have an issue. They do have an issue that I can understand why they're upset about it. But that's the best. I mean, I don't know. You know, everyone's different. Everyone's different in how they process what's going on. But it is a problem for them.
Sure. Yeah, you mentioned the way people get their information. Boy, nowadays it's so hard to seek out the truth. It seems like you got to really work, no matter what you're trying to research, to find the right answer.
You got to run everything through AI, or you're gonna just not know. I just cannot believe how there's just so much fake information on. Like I deleted Facebook off my phone. It's just full of just blatant lies.
Yeah.
For example, this was like 3 weeks after the Super Bowl. I see a ad that says Travis Kelce announces at the post game of the Super Bowl that he has retired. That is just factually a lie. There's zero truth in that. But that because why are they going to put that? Because they get paid by clicks. And so these fringe news organizations are posting stuff, and they do it. They love to do it with politics to get clicks, because that's how they get their money, is through clicks. And now that the political stuff is heated up, it's all you see, most of what you see online is not true information. The vast majority on Facebook, the vast majority of the stuff you see people posting on Facebook are not true. So I'll just cut, I will cut and paste like either the title or some of the information. I'll run it through ChatGPT and do a quick search of it. And within 10, 15 seconds, you will know that it's not true. But there is a huge portion of people that believe that at face value. And then they start sharing all these things with their friends. It's unbelievable the amount of, I hate to use the phrase misinformation, but, lies that are, I think it should be illegal just to post as a blatant lie. On like if you're like trying to make money off it and you post something that is just not just like, oh, I misstated, like a obvious lie, that should be illegal to me. So annoying. You hit a really soft sore spot for me. Sorry.
Well, that's interesting. You brought up AI. You're one of the one of my friends that is more up on it and knows a lot more and uses it a lot more than most people. I had a really good conversation with my friend George while I was out at the Harrisburg Great American Outdoor Show. He's very up to speed on it. Gave me some really good advice, and I've kind of been learning a lot more on top of what you kind of pointed me, the direction you pointed me on a few occasions. Where do you think we're going with this, and does it scare you at all?
Yeah, it does scare me. And I don't know how deep you want me to. What I'm scared of is the brain chipping, which they've already done this with several people. And now brain chipping is going to do stuff like cure Alzheimer's, cure Parkinson's, cure all sorts of horrible trauma injuries. It's going to cure those things. So that is fantastic. But when brain chipping becomes like a normal thing, like if I said to you, okay, you're going to go the next year, Brian, and you're not going to use your cell phone and you're not going to use your email. Business wise, what are you going to do? You can't compete. You cannot function as a businessman without those things. Once they get to the level of brain chipping to where you can like, oh, I know Chinese now. Let me just download that or whatever it is. It's going to be the same type of thing. It's either you're going to live on a commune or you're going to have to do it to compete. And that absolutely terrifies me, that level of it. And like I said, they're already have brain chipped a few people to try, like people that are paralyzed now can move the mouse with their eyes. Like, wonderful, wonderful things. But that aspect of it is ultimately terrifying to me. And I'm terrified of the singularity. And that's where you have super intelligence.
Yeah.
So there's artificial general intelligence where it reaches our particular level, but then there's a super intelligence to where AI becomes smarter than all cumulative human capabilities. And that is scary for sure. There's no doubt. And we're talking 5 to 15 years to hit this stuff. It's not far away. So yeah, that is scary.
This episode is also brought to you by the Duck Hole & Company, Attracting Feathers Together. They are a full-service habitat company located in North Carolina. If you have questions about waterfowl habitat or need some work done on your property, contact them through any of their social media platforms at the Duck Hole & Company. They can also fix you up with Golden Millet, also known as the Duck Buffet, and the best bang for your duck. Yeah, and they're solving problems faster and faster. I just read something, I don't know the exact numbers, but something that would have taken years to compute, now they're doing it in just a matter of seconds. It's insane.
It is insane. But you know, my dad's got Parkinson's. Would I want him to have a brain chip to be cured of that? Absolutely. They're going to be able to do wonderful things. But when they're talking about like hiving our minds together, things, because they've already been running hiving experiments on mice to where they can communicate mentally through these devices. I mean, they're actively working on this stuff. So I'm sitting here saying this as I'm wearing a Bigfoot hat. I sound like I'm a some type of conspiracy this, but this is actually true. I mean, they're working on these things of like hiving minds. And my understanding is now they understand the ability to be able to, if you have a chip, to be able to read your mind, to be able to tell you what you're thinking. Well, I mean, you know, as men, sometimes we think some terrible thoughts.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
The mind just, you know, sometimes you're sitting there some horrible, crazy thought, like, I wish I could kill that person really good. You know,
yes. Right? Yes.
You just have these crazy thoughts pop in your mind, like, oh, Lord forbid, get that out of my mind. I don't want everyone to be accountable for all that.
Well, that's some new material for nightmares for me now, the brain chip. Yeah. And I'm always concerned about, like, all the sci-fi movies I watch about the robots taking over. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But like you said, it's a game changer for running businesses and especially podcasts and show notes and organization and all that stuff. And it's
everything.
Yeah. So
absolute life changer is what it is. If you use it for everything, it's a life changer.
Right.
Right now, in a positive way, it's a game changer for your life in every way.
Well, to get back on the waterfowl topic, we talked a lot about the highs from the season. Is there any low points that you had and, maybe think about or what you could have done differently to change those?
We had a six hunt stretch right during Thanksgiving where we hit a slump where everything just was going wrong. And I think it was because a lot of what I do, and I've talked about this a lot, is that I want to learn and know my area and how my area functions, because most of my hunting during the season is blind because I can't go out and scout. I don't have the time to go out and scout. And like the place I took you where we camped out that time, you can't scout a lot of that stuff without. I mean, you have to have a whole day. You got to get in a boat. It's not like road scouting. So a lot of it in that area specifically is, okay, I know the habitat. I know the weather. I'm going to this spot without any knowledge because I think it's going to be good. And kind of went through a run of just picking the wrong spots about 5-6 hunts in a row. And that was right during Thanksgiving. And man, I can handle a skunk here or there, but if I put like 3, 4, 5 together in a row, by about 4 or 5, I'm starting to get pretty, my attitude is deteriorating a little bit. But the great thing about that is on the backside of that, to break that slump, Elijah and I had what we both consider our favorite hunt of the year. It was his first mallard limit ever. We slipped into this marsh in the afternoon. A lot of times I'll just be like, okay, everything's going wrong. I'm picking all the wrong spots. I'm going to the best food source that I know. And that's what we did that day. We hunted in the morning. We hunted the second spot I took you to. Elijah and I had hunted that in the morning. And we had had two great hunts there and then two skunks in a row there. And so I'm like, man, let's just go to the best food source I know. I can't even make a video here because it's KDWP, but that's where we're going. And we went in there in the afternoon, and it's a pretty heavily trafficked marsh, but no one was in there. And at like 1:30, 2 o'clock, we were seeing groups of mallards come in that were super call responsive, and I could just tell it was you get a certain point, like, okay, I think we're going to shoot our limit. And we just had the best mallard hunt, his first mallard limit. And that hunt was so much more enjoyable because the previous five were so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I do not want to shoot my limit every single hunt. Because it's like, to hit that high emotional that we hit, you have to have a bad run in front of it. And so it was almost kind of worth it, the bad hunts, just to hit that one phenomenal mallard hunt that we hit.
Yeah, that's a great point. It does make the high points even higher when you got to survive through those low points.
Definitely.
I'm definitely used to doing that in Pennsylvania for sure, but I'm with you. I can only take a couple of skunks in there, and then it's like, okay, I'm going to go break out of this somehow.
Yeah. It gets to me. It really, my attitude deteriorates.
So what are your plans for this upcoming season? Are you kind of going to stick with the program that you've been on, or anything you're going to switch up?
I think it'll be pretty much identical to last year. I think some of the trips will be the same. It's looking to, I'm going to model it pretty much. I'm not going to be, last year I went out on the Timber Queen with Jordan on the Mississippi, so I won't have that. In place of that, it looks like we're going to have a Flyways Collective trip, which we have not done for quite a few years. Up north. I'm not going to reveal where we're going quite yet, but sure. It's in the works. But yeah, it's going to be pretty much identical to last year, as far as the planned trips and the schedule. Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything you would have changed about last season if you could have?
I don't. There's a couple days I took off work that I did it impulsively. One specific day I took off work and burnt it when I was just impatient. I knew it was a day early, but it just like, I just wanted to take it off so bad. My days off work are, I get 11 days to use however I want, but that also has to count 6 days. So I normally take like 6 or 7 days off work. So they're pretty precious for me because I don't have a ton. So that's really the only thing I would have changed. I knew I was being a little impulsive to take this day, and I went back to where we had hunted and done that camp out.
Yeah.
But the thing that really was annoying is I heard people in other marshes around me shooting like crazy, and they just weren't coming there. I'm still not sure why. But other than that, no, there's nothing yeah. I would really change.
I think it was your latest episode I heard you talk about kind of kidding yourself and wanting to get out there and take advantage of the later goose season, and then you didn't. I had to chuckle because I did the same thing. I kept telling myself, okay, I'm going to get out here and hunt geese a couple of times, and just got lazy and enjoyed catching up with the family and sleeping in. And I wish I could go back and get out a couple of those days. But, you know, I think sometimes you got to give yourself a little break and a little bit of grace.
Well, a goose and a duck to me are vastly different. I like goose hunting, but I can't stop myself from duck hunting. And if someone calls me and say, I got this goose thing going and let's go do it and it's going to be great, I would go. But am I going to push it and go and look for them and do all that? Probably not. It's just I am a duck guy through and through. And the duck is what does it for me like nothing else that exists. I can't stop myself. But turkey, goose, Canada goose, snow goose, everything else, it's like, I would kind of like to do that, but not all that motivated.
Yeah. So you said you might take advantage of some snow goose hunting. You got some season left there, right?
I do. So the migration last week, where we had all those 60 days, the front end of the migration started coming through us, really. And I was supposed to go this last weekend. Didn't do it. It looks like mid-March, Aiden and Jeremy and I and Elijah will go. We'll do a weekend where it's one of my favorite weekends of the year because I'm not huge into snow goose. Though it's too much work. It's too much work for not enough payoff, honestly. But if I can get about 800 to 1,000 decoys, which Aiden has, and we can set them up on like a Friday and then hunt them, lay in the field a little bit and stalk them around marshes a little bit and camp and relax. And that is just phenomenally fun. So we're doing that mid-March. It's going to be a 3-day weekend. Oh yeah. I'm really, really looking forward to that. Hopefully it won't be too late. I think sometimes mid-March, the migration's already north, but this cold we're having tonight and this, it'll push them back south. So I think we'll be good. I think it'll probably be a lot of juveniles. Should be good, but I'm only going, if I go that weekend, I don't want to shoot like, oh, we shot a 300 snow geese. I do not want 100 snow geese in my possession.
Right.
I have no desire. Give me like 7 or 8, so somewhere between 7 and 15 geese I kill on that weekend. I don't want to kill them any more than that. I don't need to. Let me look at them. Let me watch them. That's a great thing about stalking snow geese that are like on marshes. They get in there by the hundreds of thousands. You get in nice and tight to them and you watch them for a good hour. And just really up close spectate them, and then you wait for a high quality shot. I don't want to flush them and kill 100 that way either. I want to look for a high quality shot and kill 4 or 5. And that is perfect, ideal snow goose hunting for me.
Yeah, I think I've seen some videos in the past you had doing just that. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is also brought to you by Rig 'Em Right Waterfowl. producers of the most well-designed and well-built products, tried and tested by the most heavily seasoned hunters on the planet. Their mission has always been and will always be to design, build, and supply the most innovative and high-performance hunting products available at a reasonable price. They will not succumb to outside pressure to cheapen their products and will continue to take bold steps and huge risks to separate themselves from their competition. They dominate in customer service, knowing that their end-use customers are the very backbone of their existence. Above all else, they operate with honesty and integrity and treat people fairly, never compromising these principles in pursuit of profit. Check them out at rigemright.com or your favorite local outdoor retailer. That's quite a bit of decoys. Is that mostly what's he using? I'm guessing they're not all full bodies. Probably like
no, they're socks and silhouettes. I think socks and silhouettes. And normally he and his dad will have it set up even before I get there. But I mean, I'm willing to help. If you have 5-6 guys, 800-900 is not that big of a deal when the ground's not frozen and you can just pop them in the ground. You know, that's not that big of a deal.
Yep. Okay. So last year we were talking about doing some teal hunting together, and Kansas was kind of up in the air about changing some of the non-resident rules. Is that still on the back burner, or what's that looking like for 2025?
Well, the state came out with, I don't know what it's called, they have to, everything that Kansas Department of Wildlife Parks tries to put through, they have to do a financial assessment of how it's going to impact the state. And if it impacts the state with a minus of like a million or two, then it just automatically gets wiped off the table. So they did this, the economic impact report, I think it's called, and it showed that it was going to hurt the state economically, so they wiped it off the table. But then it came up in early February that someone brought it in front of the House as a formal bill. So now it's not like it was going to be a regulation through the Department of Wildlife and Parks. But then they brought it as a bill to the state, and they've now tabled that for the next year. So there, it will not take place in the 25-26. So my guess is it'll never take place.
Okay.
But yeah, it's definitely tabled as of right now, for sure.
All right. Yeah, I was curious about that. I hadn't had a chance to get caught up and look into that.
Yeah, non-residents, you know, in December and January are more and more becoming an issue. They are crawling everywhere during those 2 months. And I don't know, I don't want to feel like this, but when every tag I see at times is non-residents, it does strike something inside of me that makes me feel annoyed. And I don't know how to handle those emotions, because at the same time, I am personally not having problems with non-residents. I work really, really hard to have places that are a little harder to get to, a little harder to figure out and find out. So I almost never have non-resident problems, but I, for some reason, feel this bubbling inside of me of like, it's becoming too much.
Yeah.
It's becoming too much, but you know, I'm right on the line. So a lot of my friends are Missouri people. I've got a lot of guys like you that come in that I love to hunt with. And so cutting off, like for someone like you, it's like if they made it so you could only hunt Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, well, you and I probably wouldn't hunt together anymore.
Right.
Because you're not going to come in. I can't hunt Monday, Tuesday. It's like, it's not that proposal, I don't think is any good. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be totally opposed to like something like South Dakota. But then I say that and it's like, what about my friends in Missouri that come just right across the board all the time to hunt with? It's like, I don't want them to lose access. This should be like, okay, states right on the edge, like Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Colorado should probably have a different exemption for them. Or like if you live within X amount of the border, because literally the guys I hunt with live 30 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
And they can only hunt Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays if something like that were to go through. Or even if like the South Dakota plan, they can only hunt two different sections of 5 days each. That doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. You're local to the area. That doesn't make sense. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But if the non-resident numbers continue to increase at the same rate that they've increased since 2015, it's going to be, there's a critical mass point that, some people think we're there now. I don't think so, because I'm not experiencing problems with pressure myself personally. But there is a point in which where we're going to cross that line if it continues to increase. And so what some of us are afraid of is they're going to start doing stuff like, well, you can only hunt in the mornings, you can't hunt in the afternoons. And now they're going to implement shell limits and like, or they'll do like pulling pills like they do in Missouri where you have to. And so if this goes the wrong direction, they will ruin hunting in this state if they're not careful, sure. If they keep pushing for regulations.
Yeah, as a non-resident, I can understand your mentality of, you know, kind of struggling with that. And it's a complicated issue, and the solution's going to be complicated. But I'm all for residents of states having priority over non-residents, hands down. How we go about that, like you said, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that either, but we'll see what happens. But my guess is for a while, nothing.
Yeah, okay. I want to talk a little bit about social media and hunting ethics, how hunters should be conducting themselves online. I make it a point not to argue with people online. I just don't have time or the need to do that. Recently, I was accused of like tiptoeing around non-hunters and censoring ourselves simply because I pointed out the fact that the hunters, as hunters, we're a minority, and we have to live and hunt in a world that's all the rules are set by non-hunters. And statistics show that most non-hunters support, you know, legal and ethical hunting and humane hunting practices. And all I was saying was, hey, we're a minority. We have to follow the rules that are set in place, and it would be in our best interest not to make non-hunters into anti-hunters. I don't think we need to be acting crazy online, posting things that just use your head a little bit. Am I wrong on that?
No, you're not wrong at all. There's no reason to spell anything out with dead carcasses. We don't need numbers. We don't need words. Dead carcasses, as soon as you start taking dead carcasses and making numbers out of them, you are devaluing their existence. I saw one. There was some girl in a layout blind that was petting a wounded snow goose. Like, it was beside her and with blood on it, alive, and she's like cuddling it. And I was like, oh my gosh, what are you? We don't need bills down in the top of shotguns. We don't need I'm a little far on this one. Even like the pinwheel, it's just like show reverence for the life of that creature. And I don't I have no problem with pile picks, but let's just be tasteful. We want to put out the image that we respect the life of this animal. It's a valuable resource. And each individual animal, we are willing to harvest it. We are willing to take that life, but it's a life. And it's a valuable complex organism that we have snuffed out. And it's a wonderful, wonderful creature. And when you disrespect it after it's dead, it's a terrible look. It's not only a terrible look, you need to rethink your personal idea of the value of that life that you have just snuffed out. No, I'm agreeing with you 100%.
Yeah, great points. And most of the people that I interact with and hunt with feel the same way as us. And it catches me off guard sometimes when some of these hunters are like, you know, you have no business policing hunters and telling them what they should be doing. And you're just as bad as the antis. And I'm like, my gosh, buddy, I'm just asking that you don't do any harm to us. That's all. Just think about what you're doing before you post something.
No doubt. I agree 100%. There's some organizations that are going way too far that direction. It's like, you should never post a grip and grin, and like, you know, social media is the worst thing in the world. And I am not in tune with that, because we need we need promotion of waterfowl hunting. I truly believe that. I mean, our numbers over the next 10, 15 years, as the older hunters and the boomers start fade, people like my dad's generation start phasing out, we're heavy in age on numbers. And so we need a young crop coming in. Now, we want that to be the right people. We want them to have ethics. But to somehow feel like that social media, like we need a presence in social media. We need a community in social media. We need people that are showing that. People like Matt and Thomas, who have the most popular YouTube waterfowl channels out there. I mean, great ambassadors to the sport. We need people like that on social media, showing how to do it the right way, grooming the next crop of young waterfowl hunters to come up. Because we if our numbers get down like, oh, there's only 400,000 waterfowl hunters, they'll take it away from us. It'll be gone. Yeah. It'll be gone. So, yeah.
This episode is also brought to you by CK Custom Calls. Custom built in the USA from the great state of Texas. Handmade in a world of mass produced. Check out their calls on their Instagram and Facebook pages at CK Custom Calls. They showcase calls for sale there, and you can also contact them for a custom order. Yep, that's a good point. Yep, another example of a difficult subject with no easy answer, but I think I have hope because there's a lot of young guys. I just did a podcast before we recorded this one with some young guys that have their heads on right. And, you know, all we can do is try to set good examples and be good mentors when we have the opportunity, and hopefully they'll keep the ship in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a lot of the young guys that do get into the sport don't have the mentors. So that mentorship role is really, really important. And so, you know, when Kansas does things like, you know, you can't film on public land and that, we need mentors for these young people. Now, unfortunately, not everyone filming and everyone are good mentors. So hopefully there's more good than bad, but, these young guys getting into the sport need some reference of ethics and morals, and they're going to see things on YouTube, and that I mean that's where we're at. So we need good, positive, ethical mentors to take that role.
Absolutely. So I really enjoyed using the North American Waterfowler app this season. I mean, I thought that was the coolest thing. Like, when you first told me about that and I started learning about it, I was like, oh, okay, here's the thing. Just put your numbers in, keep track of stuff. But it actually was a lot of fun now that the season's over and I've had a full season to work with that. You planning on doing any changes to that this year?
I'm going to do some changes. A lot of the changes that I need to make are getting more people excited about it, finding a way to better market it, finding a way to bring more people into it. I put so much money into that thing that that's a big part of what that I need to be working on. But I really, really want the satisfaction scale. That's, if I'm going to add any little thing, I want to be able to get to the end of the hunt and I want to be able to have a satisfaction scale of a 1 to 10. I think 1 to 10 is right. I think 1 to 5 isn't varied enough. If I do 1 to 5, then I'd put halves in there. But I want that, and I want to put it on the leaderboard. So you're like, oh man, Brian, I've like enjoyed his hunts more than anyone else on the app. He had a 9.5 satisfaction score. But I don't know if I'll get these other things done. But I really want motion decoys to be logged so that we can get some real data on how effective they are. I want types of shotguns and ammo on there, and then I want it shareable via social media. I don't know if I'll get those things done. I'm pretty sure I'll get the satisfaction scale done. The amount of things I want to do are endless, but it's just a matter of how much money I'm willing to spend on it. The only time I like how much money that I've spent on it is when I do my taxes.
Yeah.
It's all write off. So Those are the things that I would really, really be wanting to do. But there's all sorts of ideas I have. I'd like badges to where, let's say you shot your 50th Mallard Drake and you get a badge, like a trophy room type of thing. Yeah. That won't happen this year. But I mean, the ideas and the things I want to do are absolutely endless. It's just a matter of financing it and prioritizing what people want and versus what I want. I normally just do what I want, honestly, because it's it's mine. I'm gonna do what the hell I want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's probably where we're looking.
Yeah, and that's just from a curiosity standpoint from my end. I mean, it's a great app as is. Like I said, it was really cool following along to see how everybody's season was going and kind of comparing. Not that it's a competition by any means, but it's just fun to see where you stand. And, you know, at a second's notice, you can just click on there and go, oh, okay, I was thinking about, you know, how many hunts am I at? How many birds have I got? You know, and the ability to go back now historically for the spots that I'm getting to learn better. I mean, it's endless. It's just a great tool all around, and I appreciate you putting the time and effort into that.
Well, thanks for the kind words about it. I certainly love it. I've been doing that in some form, whether it was Excel spreadsheet or not, since 2007. I guess another thing I'd like to do is, because I'll go through, I love to do this, I'll go through and sort my data by areas that I hunt. So when I label where I'm hunting, it'll be like, let me try to use some generic names. Let's say there's like a Washington lake. So I'll put Washington dash and Main Lake Point or Northside Marsh or whatever. So then in the list, all of the Washington Lake areas are all in a line. And so then you can go in and just click on all those and look at your data for just that area. So what I'd like to have on there is where you can do multiple sorts like that. And then on one screen, you have four of them that show all this. Because I like to compare. I like to compare past years or whatever. And I want a screen to where you can have multiple sorts together so you can visually see everything at once and compare. You could do that like for, let me see, Pennsylvania versus Kansas versus Nebraska. And you could have all of the data on the screen at once so you could just easily look at and compare all of that instead of having to click back and forth. I do really want that bad too. I'd forgotten about that. Because I use that a lot where I'm just trying to compare different years and and stuff. And I want all that data on the screen at once so I can see it together.
Well, good stuff, my friend. I don't know how you keep it all going, but it all somehow works out, and everything that you do seems to really benefit the waterfowl community, whether it's your videos, your podcast, your app. Just hats off to you, brother. You're working a full-time job and doing all this on the side, too, so really cool to see.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And I, you know, having something, a project and something to work on, as you know, is fun. It brings spice to your life. It brings a place for your mind to go. And when you have a place for your mind to go, gloomy thoughts, depression, and I'm not the type of person that is plagued with depression, like some people. But if I have a mind, if I, like my first few weeks after season, I think what a lot of duck depression is it's not missing duck hunting, it's that your mind no longer has a place to go during the work hours. Right. And so your mind is void, and that brings the depression more than I don't get to do it. It's I don't get to think about it. And when you have projects, you know, like you started this podcast for a year, you're at your job and now you're thinking of guests, you're thinking of topics, your mind has a place to go. And when your mind has a hobby and a place to go, that wards off a lot of negative thoughts, a lot of depression. And so, you know, doing all this extra stuff does nothing, as you know, does nothing but benefits your mental state, really, your emotional state.
Yeah, great point for sure. Yeah, and then it's the relationships and the people you get to meet, and then it's been a fun ride. I can't believe I'm coming up on a year already, and looking forward to the next one. But
so what's your travel schedule like for next year? Have you thought about it? Are you coming back out this way?
Yeah, I definitely like to come back out west for sure. I recently got an invite to hunt mallards in Idaho, which is kind of a bucket list dream hunt. So
yeah,
I'm probably going to make that happen at some point.
Yes, you got to get out there. That's That's heaven. Washington, sure. Idaho. That's the best mountain hunting in the nation is what I think.
But man, I sure had a lot of fun hunting teal early season. That was kind of a treat because we don't have an early teal season in Pennsylvania. So definitely looking forward to trying that out again and might get up to Canada. We'll see.
Well, you got an open invite here. Would love to have you back out. So
I appreciate
just
that.
Know if you want to come and do that, we're happy to get the dates on the calendar. Enjoyed having you out here. Enjoyed getting to know you over the last year. And hopefully you'll continue to choose to come out to this area because really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that and see how it goes as we get closer. But what's coming up for you?
I got to get myself geared back up into the dog training stuff. She's halfway to her AKC hunt. I can't remember, I'm messing up the title. Master Hunter title. So she's got her HRC finish title, and now she's halfway to her AKC Master Hunter title. So this summer, the goal is to get those last three passes. So we've got it. She's just coming off a broken toe. So she's just barely limping. By next week, she'll probably be able to. She's going nuts because she hasn't run in 6 weeks. So yeah, that's kind of the next thing on the table, and maybe some turkey hunting.
Okay. Yeah, and you got the Flatlander Kennel podcast going as well. So now we're talking about dog stuff.
Yep. That's what we're about. We put out a couple episodes. We don't do much during hunting season, but off season we hit it hard. 2 to 4 episodes a month, and it's really all dog training hunt test stuff. It's really geared towards hunt test crowd.
Yeah.
But if you're just a dog trainer, even for hunting dog, there's plenty of great stuff in there for you as well.
Sure. Well, I can't think there's too many of my listeners that don't know where to find you, but I want to give you a chance to let everybody know where they could look up your YouTube channel, your podcasts, and everything else you got going on.
Right. It's Freelance Duck Hunting YouTube channel and on Instagram, the North American Waterfowler Podcast. Flatlander Kennels podcast with Chris Jobman, and then the app is the North American Waterfowler. You can find that on iOS and Android, and also just the website, thenorthamericanwaterfowler.com.
All right, my friend. I appreciate the time as always. Appreciate your friendship, and looking forward to the next adventure with you.
Yep, thanks for having me on, Brian.
Huge thank you again to Elliot for taking time out of his day to join me on the show. And thank you all for tuning in to this episode. I really appreciate it. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Migration Waterfowl. We've also got a TikTok page as well, if you're into that. We also have a Facebook group for the podcast. Please join us there as well. And if you could, please check out our YouTube channel and subscribe while you are there. Lots of great content coming that way throughout the rest of the year. Don't forget about our New Year's giveaway over there for 2025. If you go to the New Year's giveaway video, like that video, comment done, and subscribe to the channel, you'll be entered to win a case of Heavy Shot ammo, a Bluebird Waterfowl animator, some hats, and we'll probably get some other prizes rounded up here. Once we reach 1,000 subscribers on the channel, we're going to do a random drawing for the winners there. But you got to do those three things to get entered. You can find links to our merchandise store on our Facebook and Instagram pages. Check out our shirts, hoodies, thermoses, coffee, and more over there. And now through the end of March, 10% of everything we sell will go to Ducks Unlimited. We also have a brand new design over there. Check out our duck stamp t-shirt and hoodie. I think that turned out really awesome. I got my samples here, and they turned out pretty cool. So check them out over there. I think you'll like them a lot. If you like what you've heard here, please take a moment and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Send me a message or email after you leave the review, and I will mail you a podcast decal. And get out there and enjoy the outdoors, but make sure you seek out a relationship with the one who created everything. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." And remember, the migration is coming. Be ready when it arrives. Tune in next week to hear another great guest on the Migration Waterfowl Podcast.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it three times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Disney Plus wants to know, are you ready?
Yes!
For Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts, the new Avengers. Now streaming on Disney Plus.
Let's do this.
One of the best Marvel movies of all time is now streaming on Disney Plus.
Hey, you weren't listening to me.
I said Thunderbolts, the new Avengers is now streaming on Disney Plus.
Meet the new Avengers.
That's a cool name.
Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts, the new Avengers. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on, you guessed it, Disney Plus.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.